I don't like any of these logos.
Oh shit! I left my other my other brand shit up there.
Yeah, I don't like any of that.
There, just the side questing was up there. Sorry about that. I don't know why I had that's the list. Check it out. I had the JPEG show was on there. We did that show last week. Hey everybody, welcome to the side quest on a beautiful Friday night. Friday Night Live. It is I, Dolly Domofsky, joined as usual by that guy, this guy, Aaron Scrattyboats, Twitch affiliate, hey. The sleepiest man alive, Mr. Dislocate. We're going to name you Mr. Instead of Mr. or Dr. Disrespect, it'll be Dr. Dislocate MD.
I don't Kelly. Think that's the thing doctors want to do. I bet there's
they don't want to disrespect either. It. Sorry, my nose is still freaking itchy. My nose is always itchy since I've been growing this stupid-ass beard. Getting close. So how you doing, Aaron?
I'm okay.
Just okay?
Yeah, it's still busy at work.
Yeah, I can imagine for you guys.
Yeah. There's not a lot to say about it. Our province opened up, issued an order opening parks and fishing and, like wilderness trails.
Uh-huh.
And so apparently the municipality of the village I live in decided that skate park counts as a park. So that's open again. And they have a sign up there saying like, you know, we're open again, but you have to stay 6 feet from each other, blah, you know, social distancing stuff. And then I walked past it coming home from work today. There's like 100 fucking people in there and like none of them were 6 feet from each other. Cause it's not that big a skate park.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm walking past it every day going like, somebody's going to have it.
One of these fuckers is going
to
have it.
One of these pieces of shit are going to have it. And they're going to get to, going to give it to everybody in that park. And then like a fifth of the population of this village is going to be dead. Well, not dead, but sick.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness. Well,
yeah.
Could be worse. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't care. What's up with you? Fuck them.
Fuck them. Yeah. I'm just, personally, I'm just chilling. I ain't doing squat, man.
You know who else isn't doing squat?
Who's not doing squat?
Like anybody. There's like no news this week.
Well, there were some.
There's like a couple, but
there's a couple. Yeah.
But like not a lot.
Correct. Not a lot.
Not a lot. And I took like eight of them and condensed them into one because they're all the same piece of news with a different name on the front of it.
Yeah. Here's the news. It's all Unreal Engine. Well, let's talk about games first.
Yeah.
Games are always kind of fun, I guess. I'm going to start talking about what I've been playing.
Yeah.
See that instead of waiting for you all the time, I'm going to go first.
All right.
Turn at my Switch. Okay, first of all, I picked up Them's Fightin' Herds.
Oh, God.
Do you know about this game?
Yes.
It's that My Little Pony turned other animals fighting game, but it's fun. I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid fun. It's not a great.
It was game. Straight up originally a My Little Pony game, right?
It was. And what happened was Hasbro got in on the action there and said, "Yeah, you can't make a fan game, even if you're not planning on selling it." So they're like, "Ah, oh, fuck, whatever. That's it. It's over with." And then Lauren Faust, who is the actual creator of the My Little Pony Friendship is Magic, like all the modern era My Little Pony stuff, she contacted the developers and said, you know what, how about I just kind of donate a bunch of character designs to you guys for free, and you guys make another game that's My Little Pony-ish, but not exactly My Little Pony. And then there you go, it's Them's Fightin' Herds. They got a new developer to help them, and they got a new game engine, and they had like the creator of My Little Pony Friendship is Magic on. And yeah, so I've been dicking around with that. It's simple. It's got some like a light combo system. It's basically, I think it's the Skullgirls game engine that they're using. So it's competent. But I've been playing it just a little bit, not too much, but
it's basically My Little Pony meets like Happy Tree Friends at this point, right?
Yeah, it is. God, Happy Tree Friends. Holy cow. Now you're bringing back flashbacks, dude. Let's see here. Started playing Mortal Kombat 11 since they announced that new expansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured, you know, I'll hop into it. I've had it sitting on the Switch forever. So I figured I'd start playing that. And it's Mortal Kombat. Definitely don't play it with the Switch handheld mode. It is junk with those controls. Use a pro controller. That's the only way to play that game. But it's, you know, it's Mortal Kombat. I mean, the Mortal Kombat 11 is pretty good. It's not a bad game at all, but it's a little samey now with, like, the last few Mortal Kombats and Injustice games that they've done. I mean, they're starting to get, like, blurry in terms of unique content and stuff. Now it's just, oh, it's another Mortal Kombat game. Like, what was the real big one was MK, it was MK9, right?
MK9, yeah.
Yeah, the one that they had on the Xbox 360, and you could actually, like, join in the lobby. They had that sort of theater mode lobby thing and stuff, which was kind of cool. And then the first Injustice was out after that, and that was neat. And really, they've only been, like, adding stuff incrementally mm-hmm. to that formula. I mean, it works. It's just at this point, if you have Mortal Kombat X10, XL, you don't need to really go over 11. But it's totally competent. It's just, you know, it is what it is. But I've also decided to play a game that just launched on the Switch yesterday. It's been on iOS forever, and that's Elder Scrolls Blades.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God, hey, it's not good. You'd think the Switch version would let you use the touchscreen, but it don't. You're using the controllers like you probably will. I think there's a PS4 and Xbox One version coming, if it's not already out yet. But you're using the controls. At least I don't think there's a touchscreen mode, which is kind of a shame. It is – what was that the Epic – Unreal Engine game that was on iOS.
Infinity Blade.
And that was kind of cool. It's simple. The first one is simple. Then, like, Infinity Blade 2 and Infinity Blade 3, like, they became progressively, like, much better looking games, really sort of competent. And then they pulled them off the App Store. Mm-hmm. This is like, what if we did Infinity Blade in Skyrim, but the graphics aren't as good? And it doesn't control as good, but it's kind of an idea. It's not good. It is. I've got like an hour and a half into it, and I'm literally just playing it just so I could experience it. And I think I'll be deleting it off the.
Isn't it like microtransaction to hell too?
There's a certain point you get where. Like when you first start playing the game, you level up pretty quickly. I mean, you're leveling up nonstop. It's like every quest you do, you level up.
Yeah, and I bet that feels really good.
It feels real good. And then you get to the point where you're like, okay, well, every like quest and a half. And then like, yeah, maybe an hour and a half or so into the game, maybe 2 hours into the game. That's where they hook the people who are really into it. You really have to redo quests over and over and over again to start leveling up. And at that point, you're just like, I don't really. Is it worth it to get like slight enhancements and crafting materials and stuff and to fight those same stupid little goblin orcs again? But yeah.
I mean, you could spend 99 cents and get that level up right now, and it's going to feel so good.
Exactly. But it's another Elder Scrolls game. It might be the only Bethesda game that comes out the rest of this year.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. You know, I had forgotten how good Tetris 99 is. Excuse me, I'm real tired. Fucking work, dude. I gotta tell you, I know you're tired. You've been working crazy ass hours. I'm working crazy ass hours. You think working from home would mean I'd have more time? But no, like these are fucking hard hours. Like it's an hour and a half for me to drive one way to the office. So I get up at 5:45. But you know, to get to work by 8 at the latest, I still stay up during like regular work days. I'll still stay up to like 1 or 2 o'clock, and then mm-hmm. I'd have like four hours of sleep at max. And then I'd be okay. Right now I'm getting like 7 hours of sleep, but I'm so freaking drained, dude. I can't keep my eyes open. And I'm waking up at like maybe 6:45, 7 o'clock. I'm getting an extra hour of sleep in the morning or hour and a half. Nope. Can't do it. I don't know what it is, but. So I've been drinking. I'm drinking some Crown Royal today. It's a good Regal Apple stuff.
So, I absolutely agree with that sentiment and the feeling. I did have one thing happen that kind of alleviated it a tiny bit.
Drinking straight from the, I'm pulling an Aaron and drinking.
Yeah, I got my bottle right there. It's coming. Mm. Don't worry. I don't really use the bank. I put enough money in to pay like rent and power, sure. And rent utilities. Good. And that's all I use it for.
Home kids.
Or do.
Or do. If you're an adult. Yeah. So you were saying, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So I only use the bank for bills, and I don't keep my money in the bank.
Mm-hmm.
And normally
you keep it in a lockbox buried in your backyard. Very smart.
Under the mattress. You know how it is. No, but normally, like, I basically make just enough to live and not really save. So I'm not used to everything being closed. So
where'd all this money come from?
I was sitting here the other day and I was just like, oh, my laptop's acting up. I wonder if I can afford to pay a computer repair guy to figure out why it won't turn on, but it's still obviously drawing power. And I was like, how much money do I have? And then I'm like, oh, I've got like $600 just sitting on my desk.
It's like drug money. You're like, forget fixing a computer. I can buy a new
one. Yeah, I bet I could find a better laptop for $600.
It's the money that I've saved. So we've basically been informed that we're definitely working from home. Like, nobody's allowed in the office except for like a couple essential folks through like the first week of June. So we still got I still got 3 weeks left of this definite. But then after that, from what my manager and director were telling me, is that they're going to ask people to mainly work from home through most of the summer.
Yep.
Until, you know, and just really only come in if we have like a customer meeting or if we have something that we have to do kind of hands-on, which to me sounds like really good because
you're not going to use Zoom for all your customer meetings and
no,
all
those. We actually use fucking Skype, man. It sucks. Skype or Microsoft Teams, which are not good. I'm sorry.
You know, they suck really bad, but at least they didn't have a massive data breach.
Correct. That is true. So, but what I've noticed is that in the time that I've been off, so again, I mentioned it before, they gave us basically a 30% pay cut, and I'm making more money from not going anywhere because I'm not buying lunch.
Yep.
I'm not, we rarely go out to dinner now. We just buy stuff for like the week, you know, groceries like we normally did, but now that stuff lasts. I'm not buying like coffees on the way in, and I'm saving a lot of money to the point where I finally bought a new desk right here. That's why the angle's kind of off because of the way my laptop is set up now. So I got a new desk. I bought one of these bad boys, finally. The HD 60S, so I can stream from the Switch and from the PC and all that kind of stuff. I've got a few things that I've managed to pick. I picked up this game, which I'm really excited to try. Sorry, Darksiders Genesis.
Nice.
So I'm excited to give that one. I think it was on sale for like $18 or something on at GameStop. And obviously, I picked up. Like, I hate to say I'm just throwing money around, but the amount of money I'm saving, not that, like, I wasn't getting paid a ton of money. I'm just letting everybody, I'm not, like, filthy rich or anything like that. Just because I bought a new house, new car, and new laptop. And no, just kidding. I'm not, like, filthy rich. Just the amount of money I'm saving staying at home is making me realize, wow, I spent a lot of trash money out there that I didn't need to spend, you know. I was buying stuff that was expendable. There was junk everywhere. I went through and sold off a bunch of my old games that I just wasn't playing anymore. Like the coup d'etat today, or it was yesterday. I'm sorry. It was awesome. Somebody messaged. So I had GTA 5 available for PS4, still unopened. I bought it for like $7. Sorry to the person that bought it. I bought it for $7 at like, I don't know where it was, Best Buy, Games. I don't know, whatever. It's like super cheap. And they were basically giving the game away. You're just kind of buying it for, you're paying the shipping. So I paid $7 for it, sold it for 20,
mm-hmm.
brand new and open. And then the very next day it's free on the Epic Game Store. So I basically made $13 out of nowhere. It's kind of nice. But yeah, I realized I had a lot of games that I wasn't playing and a lot of stuff that had just been sitting around, things that I had used, obviously games that I did play. And I was done playing them. So sold a bunch of stuff. I actually created myself a Facebook page to sell a bunch of junk. Sold enough games and like old memorabilia that I had where I bought myself an electric lawnmower. And I'm excited, man.
Like a ride-on?
No, I can't afford that. No, this is just still a stand, you know, walk behind mower. But we got the new lawn in. We finally got a lawn in. So a sod outside so I need something to mow it. But anyways, yeah, realizing how much money I was saving not going out now. taking a look at our finances after probably in the next 2-3 weeks here, we're supposed to kind of, we have to get like some of the rest of the house stuff taken care of. But if I can check out my finances after that, I'm heavily leaning towards getting an actual like gaming laptop, like a nice high end laptop. Because me and my wife were talking about how corporations are just going to have to get rid of. I mean, there's still companies out there that live on desktops. And it's like, why? I mean, if you're going to have most people working from home, you just have laptops, have high-end ones. And I figured I might as well just pick up myself a nice high-end laptop. So I'll be polling everybody on social media out there, all our friends, and like, help me find a good laptop. I think the was it the Alienware and Dell were showing off their was it the M15 R1 and R2? I think it was. Was it Dell's new?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm thinking, Taylor. Dell's 2070 NVIDIA the chip. I can't remember what it is. The card, yeah, sorry. But that looked pretty hot. So I'm like, Taylor, I will message you and you help me out. Help me scope out spec out a laptop because I'm thinking, it's about time. I settled down and got myself an actual like PC to do stuff with because. The stuff that I'm recording on now can't even handle. I got two USB ports on this guy, so I ordered a little hub, and I got my old laptop is junk. So yeah. Anyways, so anything else I've been playing? Not real. Oh, Tetris. I forgot. I was going to mention that. I forgot how good Tetris was, and I love Tetris 99. It is Tetris, maybe my one of my favorite games out there. Thanks, Taylor. Tetris is still a great game. Tetris 99 is a blast. And they have a little Animal Crossing theme thing going on now. You can get the Animal Crossing theme if you're playing. But it's good. Tetris 99, man. I don't know why. It's becoming a very easy palate cleanser for me because it's like all of, I can play that game for all of 30 seconds and be completely satisfied for the day. Or I can just sit there and play it for like an hour, but really I only need it for like, 5-10 minutes at most. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Haven't playing anything else. Like we got a couple of review codes that have come in and I'm trying to decide if I want to do any of them or auction them off on y'all. So we'll see. I'll message you. I'll let you know what they are afterwards. What have you been playing?
I played a little bit more of a Chimera Squad.
Okay. Yeah.
I sat down the other day. I was like, all right, I'm just going to play through and beat everything there is to do in one sitting. I'm just going to marathon this game like I used to. I got a couple of missions in. I found a bug that I don't know how they missed it.
Hmm.
I played a mission where the objective is you get to a guy and then that stuff spawns like an extraction point.
Sure.
And you have control of the guy just like your squad. You know, standard XCOM thing with a VIP. You got to get them to the extraction point. You extract out your soldiers. For some reason, I decided that I was going to hold the line instead of extracting. And I had line of sight on one of the spots that enemies would spawn. And I guess enemies in those types of missions will just spawn forever.
Hmm.
So they would spawn and then they would die on the same squares and the bodies would start stacking up. And then the game crashed because there were too many bodies on one square.
Oh, my God.
And I was just like, all right, that's good enough. And haven't really touched it since.
Mm.
But, had I stuck to the mission parameters and actually removed my people, I could have kept going. And otherwise, that's a really good game.
The whole point of a game is to try to break it.
Yeah.
That's always been a metagame is like, what if I don't do what they tell me to do?
Yeah, exactly.
If I do the opposite,
how can I get out of bounds?
Well, how can I get exactly? You're like, here's the playing field. Like you immediately go right to figure out how to break the shit. Yeah. Is there a secret? No, but you just fuck something up. So that's good. Well, good. Yeah. Chimera Squad. Yeah. Yeah. I'll get in. I'll get into it. I'll get in a bunch of games. Yeah, I need to get rid of shit. I will say one thing though. I've just real quick. I've been teaching myself how to juggle. So that's
nice.
That's stupid, but I have a learn to juggle kit, and I don't know if I mentioned it before, but the kit's not. You're reading a book, and it's not very well, not very good. So I'm been watching some YouTube videos, and it really is.
The kit would just be like. Three balls or three books even.
Three books. You're throwing three books in the air. You're juggling books. Oh, it's the three beanbag balls. And I guess I should probably practice more. I think I've practiced all of like 15 or 20 minutes, but some folks pick it up in like 5 minutes. I've got to get it, but
I've tried to juggle before. I can't do it.
Maybe I'm just uncoordinated. That's why I can't play guitar either. Anything else you've been playing?
No, that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I just like this week was going to be the week where I was like, yeah, I'm going to play everything I'm waiting on. And no, nah, man, work is sucks,
man. Oh, damn it. Like maybe, it, I don't know. I'll be happy when COVID goes away to a point, only because everybody else will get back to work that I work with and like stop bothering me throughout the day. Like the majority of my day is dealing with other people's problems and not even getting to any of the shit that I have to get done.
Mm-hmm.
But
I had to catch myself at work today because one of my coworkers and her friend, who should not be hanging out together because we're in quarantine,
mm-hmm.
Both decided they were going to attempt to hang out inside my store today.
Oh, geez.
And I was sitting there with my little tablet because my laptop's broken right now, just reading because that's what I do. And then they're so fucking loud after about 5 minutes that I was just like, you guys need to get the fuck out of my store. And they're like, geez, you're crab. And I'm like, I'm trying to read. And then I had to stop and think about that. It's like, no, I'm on shift right now. I'm being paid to.
I'm trying to read the
tech manuals
on the manual. Good stuff. Yeah, we did have a couple. I don't know. Do you have any of the release dates as a part of your news at all or no?
No, I skipped pretty much all the release dates just because it's like, well, I mean, the one that I had on there, actually, I lied. The one that I had on there was Iron Man VR.
Okay. Well, before we get to that then, thankfully, a lot of games have been fucking delayed and pushed back, and there's actually not a lot more stuff coming out between now and fucking August. We don't really fucking know what's coming out. We have, we have that new Paper Mario game, but that's the same day as Ghost of Tsushima. So you have those two games coming out in July, and then in June you have Last of Us. That's kind of it. I mean, there really isn't. I mean, Xenoblade, but I'm not going to
talk about Iron Xenoblade Man VR. Again. What are you talking about?
Well, then there's Iron Man VR. But there's not like these mega, you know, there's not a mega release every week that we have to like.
No, there's FOMO really not.
To play. Like, I'm still hoping to get into Final Fantasy VII, but you know, that game is going to drop in price like any day now. It'll be $30 at Best Buy or Amazon or something because everybody already bought it. So, so I'm really hoping to finally get into some of these fucking games that I've had piled up on my, I'm really sweary right now. I think it might be the alcohol. Get into some of these games that I have been, that have been piling up. So got to finish writing a couple of these reviews and yeah, bottoms up and then we'll be good to go.
Yeah. I've been watching these release dates come out and I think we actually predicted what's happening.
I'm pretty sure we did.
We said that I'm pretty sure we said on one of these shows that as release dates come up, they're just going to announce them and it's not going to really be a thing.
Yep.
And that's what they're doing, it seems like. And at least one company has to come out and said specifically, yeah, that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
So
I love Nintendo's, or we're going to transition to the news now, but I love Nintendo where they have zero fucking games planned. Like their last game was the 51 whatever board game thing. And then like, to yesterday out of the blue, they're like, oh yeah, hey, here's the Paper Mario game coming out in exactly two months with minimal hoopla, nothing that we had talked about. I mean, everybody, Paper Mario hasn't been good in like 10, 12, 17 years. So we can relax. Thousand Year Door was the last and maybe the only good Paper Mario game. Super Paper Mario was on the Wii was actually good, but it was a different type of Paper Mario game. But there hasn't been anything good.
And this one's called what, the Funky Obelisk or something?
Something like that, the Funky Origami Obelisk. And guess what, guys? I'm telling you right now, Metacritic is 72, only because it's a Paper Mario game, and it's like, there's nothing, there's fucking nothing else coming out, and I'm okay with that. But yeah, like I said, Nintendo was just like, yeah, here. By the way, here's a big game that's coming out in two months. But that's funny. What's funny about this is, you go back to that speculation that folks like Jeff and Video Game Chronicles and like a bunch of us had, because Paper Mario was actually rumored at like last year. They were saying that there was a Paper Mario game coming out.
Well, there was a leak last year, wasn't there?
There was a leak. Yeah, there was some sort of leak last year. One of those prolific leakers said Paper Mario is coming out in 2020, and then there's like another game coming out as well that's on the docket. And then they even said a few weeks ago, the Video Game Chronicles folks said there's the Mario remasters, and then Jeff heard that they're kind of coming together as one unit. I think what COVID has done, and Nintendo kind of mentioned it a little bit during their earnings stuff, in that was it Furukawa? Is that who their new CEO is, new president? He said, "Yeah, we're not very good at work from home. We're not set up that way. Nintendo's not set up the way because Nintendo still functions like they're in 1800s." He said, "Yeah, so you know we're still planning on stuff releasing on time, but it depends on how long this lasts." So fast forward to today or to yesterday, and I think that Paper Mario was probably one of the games that they were going to release as part of this whole big Mario event. And I think the Mario thing was going to be just a part of their kind of big promotion, their E3 style promotion, their event. But so much stuff is being left behind, pushed around. I actually think now that I really do hope people like ports and remasters for the Switch this year, because the only things that I can imagine coming out are Bravely Default 2. Those Mario ports will come out as like one package, and because they're ports and they're not it is less work because you're not coming up with stories and all that kind of stuff. You have the product there, and they needed something now to kind of pump out in July to, you know, I think it was like shoot from the hip type of thing. It's like, fuck, we got to get something out because we don't know what else is going to happen the rest of this year. So get Paper Mario out there because that one's done. That was the easy one. So,
And there was the other thing.
The other thing was
that good friend of the show, Jeff. Jeff, what's his name?
Grubble?
Something like that. When he was reporting on the Paper Mario story, mm-hmm. also managed to pull from that Pikmin 3.
Yep.
Pikmin 3 is coming.
So Pikmin like, 3,
yeah. You want your big midsummer Nintendo thing.
I think, you're probably getting Paper Mario in July and then Pikmin 3 in August. That'll be
there.
Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Yeah, so that was also rumored. I remember, I think someone on IGN who is a peer. Pierce Schneider mentioned that there was one of Nintendo's strategy games from the Wii U was going to be ported over to the Switch. This was like a few months ago. And I mean, he basically alluded to it being Pikmin 3. And so this isn't, I mean, I think this is an obvious choice. Get Pikmin 3 out there. I wish it was Mario 3D World, but if that's part of this kind of package that they're working up, that's fine. Yeah, I think I think the rest of this year for Nintendo is going to be a bunch of ports. So yeah. I'm not looking towards it unless, So the weird thing is you're going to get a port of Pikmin. You're getting a port of Xenoblade. You had the port of Pokemon Deluxe in February. You had, if you're going to get these Mario games as big ports, and then they tease at the end of that Mario Paper Mario game, they teased a Metroid helmet thing, which leads me to believe the only game that I think that they could pump out this year might be something Metroid related, whether it's the HD package. Although I don't think you want to port out another port, like another HD port of whatever, right?
Other M2.
No, I actually think it would be. I actually think we might see Metroid Prime 4 sooner rather than later, to be honest, because that's being handled by Retro in Austin, and they're much more. I mean, U.S. studios are much more adept at the whole work from home thing because it is sort of the gig economy in the U.S. where you're developers and stuff. A lot of those guys work from home. It's natural for them here, and so. I would not be surprised if we see something Metroid related. Like one of the big rumors was that they were remaking that before Metroid Prime 4 is coming out, there would actually be like a remake of Super Metroid on the Switch. So that may be, I could kind of see that happening, like a new version of Super Metroid on the Switch. But then, even that's still kind of a port, but it's an HD remake. So you heard it here first. That I think that was one of those rumors too that was kind of floating around, but whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, Paper Mario, whatever. Nintendo was like, we don't care. We're just gonna, we don't even have dates anymore. We're just throwing shit out there. But let's get into the actual news.
Yeah, it's the plague. Nobody cares. They're coasting.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna remove that because that was Paper Mario, which is apparently subtitled "The Origami King."
That's what it was.
Not the Orgasm Obelisk. Dance Dance Revolution 5 was announced.
Is it 5 or is it V?
I don't know. It's probably V.
So we'll go with 5.
Yeah, exactly. that news story is mostly for me. I used to play DDR.
I played it a lot too.
How
would you play though? Is it just like keyboard?
I used to go to the arcade.
No, but how would you play this one? It's a
Oh, this?
Yeah.
I guess keyboard. I mean, there's all those games that like what's it called? Like Osu and stuff like that, that are essentially Dance Dance Revolution just on a keyboard.
But I figured, would you want to like stand up and use like plug in a pad or something? I mean, I'm sure that good luck finding
maybe,
a pad, right?
Maybe it'll come with like a USB pad. Yeah,
good luck with that, right?
Yeah. Give me one of those PlayStation 2 era, the 35 pound metal pads.
Hell yeah. The ones that just kind of sit in the middle of your living room and you can't get rid of.
Yep. And don't move when you're jumping on them so you can actually play the fucking game.
Mm-hmm. Not the paper roll ones. Yep.
Ugh. Yeah, so that's happening. Like you mentioned earlier, GTA 5 is free on Epic Game Store right now.
Did I ruin all your stories again?
A little bit. Okay. That one was only on there because they're like their player base numbers are so ridiculous already that I'm interested for the news story that happens 30 days from now where they announce how many new players like, oh, we reached 200 million players. It's like, but yeah, because I bet you can register a new account with that download.
Probably. Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's what I'm going to do.
The Lego Ninjago movie video game is free right now.
Why?
I have no idea.
I downloaded it. But
yeah, me too.
I don't know why.
It's Xbox, PlayStation, and PC. It's free. Yep.
Hey, on your Xbox, when you go to download stuff from the web, whenever I click buy this game, whatever, buy now for $0, whatever that is, I get a screen that pops up. It says, what device would you like to download it to? You have no devices linked to your account. And I'm like, well, fuck it. No, I have the Xbox One linked to my account. I have an Xbox 360. I have Windows Machine.
Listen, man, you're talking to the guy who, in the span of a year, went from multi-day tech support with Windows technicians to fix his operating system, or to fix a very niche problem with his operating system, to being told by those same people that, oh, you don't have a Windows key. So I don't know what the fuck they're doing over there. Right. Tony Hawk Pro Skater 1 and 2 remake.
Oh yeah. Again. Second time they remade it.
I saw like a dozen variations of this news story, and the one that I was into was Tony Hawk and Jack Black with, I guess, her kids playing it.
Oh, so they announced the game by Tony Hawk sending text messages, right?
Yeah, it was Tony Hawk has like a phone based text server.
Yeah, some of those the celebrities have.
Yeah, and hey, there's a new game coming out. I guess he's working with Activision again.
Okay, so, yeah. So what is it? Is it a remake of the first two?
It's a remake. I guess it would be a remake at this point. It's a remake slash remaster of 1 and 2, which I guess includes all the levels, and it includes all the moves from 1 and 2 and some of the mechanics from 3.
Okay.
And I, you know, 1 and 2 were the good ones.
Yeah, they were.
Mm-hmm. And also it has the song everybody wants. So congrats. That fucking Goldfinger song.
Yeah. They posted that soundtrack today.
Yeah, you can check out the soundtrack on Spotify. There's links floating around.
Sweet.
TurboGrafx-16 Mini release date is set for next week.
That's crazy because I thought that was canceled for a while, and I canceled my order. And then it's It's available, so now
it'll be out on May 22nd.
Now I'm like torn. It's $99 at first. Like, that was the one console that I really kind of wanted but never got. Like, yeah. I'm staring at the Neo Geo Mini over here, but the TurboGrafx was the one, because that came out like right around the time the Genesis and the Super NES.
Let me tell you the other side of that. That was the console that my dad's girlfriend's kids owned, and it sucked so hard we'd rather go outside than play it.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it. You didn't like the Bonk's Adventure or Air Zonk?
I would rather play Wheel of Fortune on Super Nintendo.
I might pick it up whenever it drops down to, like, you know, $50. I mean, what was it, like the Genesis game? The Genesis one? I bought it for $19.
Yeah, exactly.
PlayStation 1, I think at one point, within the first month, the PS1, which I'm looking at the PS Mini, went from, like, was it like $99 down to like $39 within the first month. And I think I ended up getting it for like $19.99.
Yeah.
But whatever.
I don't own any of those because I'm bad with money, but not that bad with money.
I have them. But again, I only buy them if they're super cheap, and then I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I don't have too many of them, though. I only have one, two.
Turn them into art. Nail them up on your wall.
Four or five of them.
Put them in like picture frames and just like up on the
wall. That's a bad idea. I was actually thinking about doing that with like the cartridge, like old game cartridges. I was going to buy a bunch of them and then paint them.
Yeah.
And not care what the cartridges were. Like, if you go to any shop around here, in fact, all those mom and pop shops that are probably going to go out of business pretty soon, maybe now is the time to hit them up and buy all their used games, because they're just going to be a lot of these places are just going to be trying to get rid of stuff. So maybe worthwhile to go in there and buy a bunch of their games for like super cheap and then spray paint them and do murals on like NES cartridges. It could be kind of cool.
Sure. Yeah. There's a guy who works for Achievement Hunter. And also he's a streamer. His name is Jeremy Dooley. He's got in his house like a full, I'm thinking of the right guy. It's one of two guys. He's got a full setup, like an art setup on his wall of one of every Xbox controller.
Oh, that's
like,
cool.
Like all the different styles and paint jobs.
Xbox or Xbox One?
I think it's Xbox and Xbox 360 and Xbox cool. One. It's a lot of controllers. Sweet.
Yeah, they've had a ton, man. And they're pretty cool. Like they've done good with their designs. I've got to say, I've always liked the Xbox. And having the Duke up on the wall would be kind of cool.
I just want a Duke. I want a Duke to play.
Did they remake that
they remade it for the Xbox One, but I think it was compatible with PC.
Okay, all right.
And I want one. We'll keep anyway, it's out. it's like 40 controllers or something like that.
That's cool.
40
That's
cool. designs, rather.
Our very first side questing T-shirt was. We had a bunch of like lines coming across the shirt. It said side questing. And then from each letter was a line. It was actually a cord that went to the attachment for the controller. So it was basically the controller cord, but just like the attachment part. So nice. You didn't know which one, unless you knew your gaming history, you didn't always tell which controller was the cord connector, but that was kind of fun.
Yeah. I don't really have a lot left. I mentioned, I kind of joked about it a little bit ago. Basically every company under the sun all announced at the same time that they're either doing some sort of digital event this summer, or they're just going to announce their stuff as it gets ready to release with no event.
So there's a lot of interesting comments about this where the one thing, and I don't know how you feel about E3. I always loved E3. E3 was a blast because everything's happening that one week, and then it sets up. I mean, you can write the stuff you saw from E3, you write about until like end of July, and then you're starting to ramp up on Gamescom and fall stuff. Like you actually have like 2 months worth of content that can come out of E3 with NDAs, all that kind of stuff. And so you're set. And E3 is good for that. And everything shows up at E3, even if it's like smaller games, they pop up at E3, and then you write about them later on, right? You just get all the info there. But right now, what's really kind of weird, and I kind of echo, I know Jeff Grubb and a couple other folks were saying this, is that there are so many events, and companies are like, we're just going to do it whenever we can do it. And if you look at our big list, we have the biggest list of all the game streams, all the events going on. There are a bajillion. And that's why we're like kind of putting up, for those people that are wondering, we're kind of changing what we're going to be doing with our event, because everything popped up like right after we announced ours. There's been like 15 other ones since then. Even like the PlayStation one is probably going to be the day before. And then you have Xbox the week after. And then there may be something like popping up from Nintendo, like not really a direct, but it may be like a, you know, product. There's like Sega. There's all kinds of people that are WB, Ubisoft. And so there are so many freaking events popping up that companies are going to get lost. It's like things are going to get lost in the shuffle because everyone's kind of waiting for that next big one.
Well, part of the reason E3 is so nice, and one of the issues people have with it very recently, is that when you condense all the announcements into like a couple of day event, there's not enough time for fatigue to sit in.
True.
Like by the end of E3 proper, everybody's still excited.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the problem as of late has been companies are, you know, spreading out. So there's a couple of days before E3 is now like a thing, and maybe a couple of days after E3 is now a thing. And now you're starting to get people tired. And it seems like everybody's just not giving a fuck. They're all just like, we're doing it this day, and we're doing it this day, and we're doing it this day, and we're going to do it this day. And it's like, oh man, that's exhausting.
And we're going to do ours 3 days in a row. We got notes from like, let me pull up the list here. We got a company that said, hey, we're doing ours on, there's the Guerrilla Collective. They're doing theirs. They're doing 3 days, 6th, 7th, and 8th. And then I got a note from Indie Games Live, which is a Japanese company. They said, we're doing kind of an E3 like event for Japanese games. We're doing ours also June 6th, but we're doing it earlier in the day. And then another company said, yeah, Paradox is doing theirs on the 6th. There's stuff on the 7th and on the 8th. We already went through all the stuff in May that was happening. And there's,
Devolver's out there being like, we're definitely doing one, but we're not going to tell you when.
Guess what? Limited Run Games is still doing the press conference. So don't forget that, because they do one every year. Upload VR has their showcase on the 8th. Obviously EA Play is the 11th. Microsoft might be on the 10th. Sony might be on the 4th. June 22nd is the Worldwide Developer Conference. Apple push it back. Stuff that's happening in June. There's still more IGN and GameSpot and whatever Jeff Keighley's Summer Game Fest stuff is, which is just for, okay. First of all, IGN Summer of Gaming, GameSpot's Play for All, Jeff Keighley's Summer Game, they're all the same fucking thing. It's just they're all doing it under their kind of weird branding. Why didn't all these folks coordinate and say, let's just have everything in 1 week? Doesn't need to be the same E3 week that it was every year. We could do it like mid-June. It's all digital. The date doesn't really matter. Let's just pick 1 week where all of us showcase our stuff that 1 week and everyone's excited about it and we go from there. But now you're getting stuff spilling over in May. And Microsoft, we're going to do one thing a month. And we're going to show you some cool stuff. And that first one laid a turd because they didn't show gameplay. And they said, you're going to see the stuff from third-party companies. By the way, it's indie companies that are.
Oh, but Assassin's Creed, and it's going to be super great. And then. And
it's just another.
Trailer. Not game footage trailer, technically.
Exactly. And so, there's a lot. Ubisoft, Xbox has theirs, GDC. Summer is in August, Gamescom opening night. It's like, guys, coordinate all the stuff to be around the same time.
How incredible would it have been if they all fucking just said, hey, let's pick a week and we'll slot out some time and then we'll all announce together the times and it'll be like E3, except we're doing it better than E3.
Yep.
How cool would that have been?
This would have been the perfect time for the organizers of Penny Arcade Expo from PAX.
This could have been the video game cinematic universe.
Yeah, it really would have been the video game, the VGCU. I like that. Video game cinematic universe. But no, man, they fucked it up. Now there's something every day. Nothing's coordinated. We don't know when something's happening. We do, because right about now, we would have been getting, actually, we would have had the We would have been getting the invites for Xbox and Sony and Bethesda. We would have had the invites and all that kind of, like, all that stuff would have come through. So it's a bummer. But I mean, it's cool that we're getting some of these events, but now there's so many events and we're not 100% sure which ones are going to be worth our time. And we're going to be fatigued by the end of that first week of the.
Go ahead. It's going to be too hard to give a shit by the end of it.
Yeah, it really is.
Which sucks to say, but. And Nintendo fucking hasn't fixed their goddamn Joy-Cons yet.
Nope, that's another issue.
Yeah, what are you motherfuckers doing? These assholes are out here trying to ruin everything for everyone. You already broke it. Fix your shit, Nintendo.
Yeah, so their Joy-Cons are still fucked up, huh?
Oh, yeah, of course they are.
Even though I just got this Animal Crossing Switch, I'm fairly confident that those Joy-Cons are going to go in the next few months here, depending on how hard I play. I've put more hours into this Switch since I picked it up with Animal Crossing, with a bunch of other games, than I did for like the 6 months before then with games. So, yeah.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
That's it?
That was all the news I had.
I'm going to drop into the Unreal Engine stuff. I'll say this. So Epic Games showed off an Unreal Engine. I'm almost done with this bad boy. My tummy's going to be nice and warm. Epic Games showed off. That was Jeff Keighley's big special announcement. Not gaming. Not necessarily a game announcement or anything. It's just Epic showing off Unreal Engine 3. Unreal Engine 5, which is badass, by the way. UE5 is pretty badass from what they were showing. But what they did in that one demo showing it running on PS5 hardware, they basically said, hey, listen, Unreal Engine 5, we're going to show you the demo running on PlayStation 5 dev hardware. And it's just a demo we created, but it's all live. They're going for that sort of CG, the movie CGI quality with lighting, with particle effects, but making it fully playable. And so I got more excited by watching that demo that for like 15, 20 minutes than I did for the entire Microsoft thing where they actually showed Xbox Series X content. Like, this was just a demo of stuff. And that's the first time I really thought, oh shit, that looks really good. That's the first time I'm really kind of interested in next gen as being more than just sort of a slightly better lateral leap, like zero loading times, beautiful designs. So yeah, kudos to Epic. I think they said that was going to be coming sort of an early access on in like January, like the beginning of 2021. And then by the end of 2021, it'll be in full availability. So another cool thing about that, though, is they're making UE4 completely free to anybody. And you don't have to pay a fucking thing to them to license it until your product starts making $1 million. So then you start having to pay them, which I think is a pretty freaking cool a cool advancement for those of us who are just getting into game dev and just kind of learning and fucking around with that shit. And we know we're not going to make a lot of money.
I haven't looked into it yet, but is it you start paying them their cut on anything after $1 million, or once it hits $1 million, you owe them a certain amount?
It's a great question. I'm not 100% sure, but when that fucker gets to $999,999, I'm pulling. It's going free.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's I'm trying to see if there's any other freaking news.
Might be time for me to get back into trying to figure out how to remake Treasure Crypt.
There you go. Treasure Crypt. What's Treasure Crypt?
Treasure Crypt is my white whale, man. It was a game. So you know RuneScape, right?
Yeah.
That company that runs RuneScape, before they had RuneScape, they ran a fucking video game website, like Flash Portal multiplayer called Games Domain.
And I remember Games Domain.
Yeah, and their portal was the Games Castle, and it was like this. It was a chat room basically, and you would navigate around the castle, and there was a rotating number of games that you could play multiplayer.
Hmm.
One of the games that they used to host was called Treasure Crypt, and it was a turn-based 4-player.
That's dope.
Like 30-turn fantasy thing where you would walk through a procedurally generated tomb. Mm-hmm. And there'd be treasure and NPCs on the ground, and you could fight or recruit the NPCs, and every character had a carry weight, so you'd be carrying treasure, but you would have to, you know, is this thing worth carrying? Is this thing worth more? Do I have to drop this? Do I take the chance on recruiting this ogre, and then he's a huge carry weight? And you would compete for score. They got rid of that website when they started, when RuneScape got popular, and I cannot find that game online anywhere.
Shit.
I found one blog ever that had like a couple of screenshots of it.
Well, there you go. Like you said, it's a white whale.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, I've been thinking about that game since like 1998.
Excellent. Excellent.
Hey, want to see a pile of Canadian money?
See a pile of Canadian money. There's Canadian drug money right there. That's awesome. That's your fix your computer money.
I'm just buying you one. I've never had this much fucking money in my hand before.
Like, we just got the notice that they're trying to get $2,000 a month for kind of like a mini universal basic income until this thing runs through basically through the end of January in the U.S.
Following Canada's footsteps.
Yep. So hopefully they would kind of help out and get people to buy shit. I mean, at that point, you're like, you know, if I'm getting that extra cash, I would potentially buy some new shit. So
have I ranted about Canada's version of that?
Only briefly.
Yeah, it's just like I was talking to somebody about it again, which is why I'm thinking about it. Talking like at my store, if you're unemployed right now or have been laid off, you can apply for the CERB, which is $2,000 a month for like 4 months or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can transition into EI or whatever. But it's $2,000 a month, but it's untaxed, and nobody seems to understand that. So, you know, the tax in Canada on $2,000 would be like $400-ish.
Sure.
So every $2,000 they give you, you should realistically take $400 of that immediately and just.
It's about the same in the U.S. It's similar to the U.S.
Sure, but people don't understand that, so they're like, everybody's coming into my store and being like, I'm going to buy all the expensive shit, and I'm like, oh, you got that CERB? You know that's untaxed, right? And they're like,
what the fuck is
that? I'm like, they're like, what the fuck does that mean? I'm like, it means come April you're going to owe like $1,600 or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're like,
nah. Yeah, they don't know that in the U.S. too. They we had the checks that came over, and folks went and spent the whole chunk of change, and I'm like, you know, that's going to be taxed later, so you're going to have to pay. But whatever. Awesome. Anything else? Or is that it for the day?
No, that's it.
I think we're kind of done. I want to. You know, it's funny. We actually did talk for over 50 minutes, and I thought we didn't talk at all, but it's good. It's Friday night. We had Taylor join in the comments. We should have brought Taylor into the actual show. But I'm going to give this dude a try tonight and see if I can stream anything.
Those are interesting to set up because, they come with their own software
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and I hate their software.
Elgato software.
Yeah. But you can
have it
in OBS.
I use the old, HD. Is it the HD 30? I don't know what it was. The old HD 60.
There was the HD, and then the HD 60, and then the HD 60S, and now it's like the 4K 60.
Well, they have an HD 60S Plus,
mm.
but I think that one's like not even all that good because it's missing some of the app. It improves some things, but it kind of goes back, you know, regresses on some other things. So they just went right to the 4K. But they have that new box that you could just plug a freaking the 4K box. You can plug an SD card in there and take it with you to the gaming shows. And I'm like, that's like $300. But you know, if I get serious with the streaming shit, if side questing takes off, I mean, I've been saying it for 11 years now. But if it takes off, then maybe that's something worth checking up on. But good shit. All right, I'm gonna play some games tonight. I'm gonna stream some stuff. We're gonna have a nice evening. And but that's basically it. We did it.
We're the best.
We're the best. Fuck everybody else who didn't join us, but we love you. Anyways, everybody is viewing. We love you. Find us SideQuesting, sidequesting.com, at Dolly Domofsky, at Scratty Bones, Twitch Scratty Bones, YouTube Scratty Bones, drink more whiskey. I'm done. This flavored whiskey is all done.
Are you telling me that I should chug the rest of this?
I didn't have a lot. I didn't have a lot. My wife did say that there's a pear version of this Crown Royal that I might have to take a look at. So I might give that a shot. I might go pick some up tomorrow. I've been drinking a lot of tequilas lately, so that's always good.
Mm. But I got one more thing that I'm super excited about. I finally found apple juice.
Wait, what?
I haven't been able to find apple juice in almost a month, and I finally found a bottle of apple juice.
Actually, it's not a bad point. Here's the thing. Look for the little cartons, like the Capri Sun apple juice cartons, because that's where the apple juice is at.
I found it.
That's cool. All right.
I'm having it. In the fridge right now, chilling.
Nice. I got some cranberry juice in there ready for me. I'm an old person. All right, dude. Well, have yourself a wonderful, wonderful Friday night. We'll see everybody on the next episode of The Side Quest. Adios. Bye. Jaws is killing my head.